I offer my very sincerest gratitude to the management of NSCI for facilitating this very wonderful place for this evening's satsang. My very sincere thanks to all of you who have so kindly come, taken your precious time for pursuing the most valuable cause of life. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam. Thus there is no greater cause than trying to understand Him, love Him, and serve Him. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit asks a very important question to Shukadev Goswami. Just previously in the fifth canto, Shukadev Goswami explained the various ways that the spirit soul within the clutches of material existence can both enjoy and suffer. Just there, as there are different environmental conditions within this world, on a much greater scale, this is taking place within the universe. In the north and south poles, very, very cold. In Bombay in April, May, very, very hot. In a similar way, the Acharyas explain, there are heavenly planets where those who amass the credits of great piety can enjoy far superior than even what pious people can enjoy in this world. And there are also places where there is great suffering, hellish conditions. We see throughout history, and very recently, even in this country, what hellish, unbearable sufferings can be inflicted upon human beings. Maharaj Parikshit, being a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, was feeling very compassionate to every living being who was suffering. This is the nature of an enlightened soul. Prahlad Maharaj, who was then just a 5-year-old child, was put through the most impossible difficulties. But he graciously passed through all of them simply by surrendering his heart to the Supreme Lord. He was fearless. Even when thrown into pits of snakes, blazing fire, put into the ocean, fed deadly poison, attacked aggressively with deadly weapons, he was fearless because Abhaya Charana Ravindare Bajahure Mana Srinandananda Abhaya Charana Ravindare. Because his mind was always focused in great faith on the mercy of the Lord. One great military leader told his people that the only thing to fear is fear itself. Really, what is fear? What is the world? The world is interpreted subjectively by every living entity according to our perception. When Prahlad Maharaj was thrown into a pit of snakes, he was not seeing this as something horrible. He was seeing this as a wonderful opportunity. I'm completely helpless. I'm completely hopeless. In this state of mind, what a wonderful opportunity to just take the name of God and just put all my trust in Him. Therefore, he was happy. And he was only a child. So it is a fact. All the things we see within this world is actually just a mirror of our own consciousness. A person who has a positive attitude will see positive opportunities in every situation that comes before him or her. And a person who has a negative attitude will only see negativity. A devotee of the Lord sees that whatever situation I may be in life or in death, in comfort or hardship, in success or failure, in pleasure or pain, in health or disease, this is a perfect arrangement to learn, to grow, and to come closer to God. If you have that attitude, you'll find joy in every situation in life. I have often given example of my god sister Kunti Devi. She was on her deathbed. She was only in her mid-40s, dying of horrible cancer. Her bones were just disintegrated. She was paralyzed from the waist down. All she could do was just lay in a bed. She didn't even have the strength to hold up a book. Someone gave her a little computer where she could just touch buttons and read our Guru Maharaj's words. And people were coming in to her, and she was giving them happiness. She just had such a positive outlook. She said, "I would not change my situation for anyone else in the whole world." That's what she was telling us. She told me that. She said, "I will not change my situation for any person on the planet. I am so fortunate." She was going to die any day. She said, "In this state, when I read the words of Gurudev and Krishna, I'm hearing that they're speaking to me personally. I've been reading the scriptures for the last 25 years, but I've never heard Krishna speaking so personally to me as now. What greater treasure is there than that? Sukadev Goswami has told us, better one moment of full consciousness than a long, 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 long life of wasted consciousness. After all, there are trees that live hundreds and even thousands of years. And there are tortoises that live hundreds of years. Human life is very special. Because human life is the opportunity to develop the highest state of consciousness. The consciousness of eternity. Na jayate mriyate va kadachi naya. That the soul is eternal. It has no beginning and no end. And it is the soul that is our true identity. Bhagavad Gita explains that this body is a yantra. It is a machine. Like an automobile. that the soul is temporarily residing within. And death for the body is inevitable. Old age, disease is inevitable. Na hanyate hanyamane sarire. But the soul is transcendental. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of natural bliss, transcendental ecstasy. That is who we are, what we are. So Shukadeva Goswami tells like this, that one moment of consciousness of our relationship with God as eternal servants is more valuable than living hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in forgetfulness. So Kunti, laying on her deathbed, was saying like this, I am so fortunate. I'm hearing Krishna so nice. I'm chanting his name with such feeling like never before. If I wasn't in this predicament, I feel like Maharaj Pariksit on the bank of the Ganges hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. How fortunate. I just want to tell people about my good fortune and share it with them. And she was happy. And actually, even a television station. And they were not religious, they were not spiritual, they were just looking for sponsors, for commercials, for money, and trying to do the best they can. Even a television station that was totally secular and materialistic, they heard about this woman and did a special segment of a news show on her. They did actually a special show on her. And the lady who was the MC of that show, she was deeply moved. You have something so great. You're about to die, but you have something. You have more happiness. You have more hope than anyone I ever met in my whole life. Kuti was smiling. She said, yes, and I want to give this to you also. Try to understand. What is the real purpose of life and how to achieve it? Every situation is a positive opportunity. To the degree we expect things to go our way, we are definitely going to be in great anxiety. Because they're not going to go our way. Sometimes they might, but usually they do not. Because every living entity within this whole cosmic manifestation has a different ahankar, or false ego. Yes? So you can't expect everyone to always treat you the way you want them to treat you. So many problems. Adi atmaka, adi daivaka, adi bhotaka. Adi Bhotaka means miseries caused by other living beings. Sometimes our friends betray us. Sometimes people are competitive against us. Sometimes people insult us, blaspheme us, try to destroy us, or just neglect us. It's very difficult. And then there's Adi Atmaka. Misery is caused by one's own body and mind. At any moment, something could happen to this body. Headache, fever, injury, and the mind. I don't think I have to say so much about the mind. We all know what it is. Even if everything we ever wanted, we have, the mind will still be in distress about how to keep it. Or what else to get. The mind's never satisfied for long. And then there is the miseries caused by natural disturbances, too much heat, too much cold, high winds, earthquakes, tsunamis, tidal waves, wildfires. So suffering is inevitable. Just like my dear god brother, His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj. He was also dying of cancer. And he used to often tell me, he said that pain is inevitable. Pain is unavoidable. But suffering is optional. It is true. Pain will come. Pain to the mind, pain to the heart, pain to the body, pain to the ego. But suffering is optional. It is really a matter of our perception. So yes, the simple lady, she was just a housewife, had two children, worked in the service of God and humanity for many years, tried to take care of her family nicely. But she had such deep, sublime realizations, perception of reality. And actually, that's what happiness or distress is about. Happiness and distress is not about the environment around us. It's about how we perceive it. Therefore, little Prahlad, he was seeing Krishna, the supreme object of his love, in every situation of life. He was turning to him, and therefore he was experiencing bliss. And Hiranyakashipu, who was his father, who was trying to murder him, it was absolutely intolerable for him. He's a king of the universe, and his little tiny son, and he's doing everything within his power to torture and kill his son, and his son is smiling in bliss. And his son just told him, "My dear father, I feel such pity for you. Why are you wasting your life in this way? Just go to Vrindavan and turn to Krishna. You are in a deep, dark well of ignorance." So Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing about various ways that people have to suffer in hellish conditions, he was feeling deep compassion. He wanted to help them. So he asked Sukadeva Goswami, "Please tell me, and please tell the whole world, what is the solution for this problem of suffering, hellish conditions?" And Sukadeva Goswami quoted from various shastras that according to one's particular sinful activity, there are particular formulas of atonement that will counteract the effects. It is called prayaschitta. And in many religions, this is very popular. In the Middle Ages, especially in the Europe, when someone would commit sinful activity, they would pay a certain fine to the priest, and he would do a certain prayer and ritual to absolve you of that sin. So they became very wealthy. And here in India also, you can pay Brahmins to do pujas and mudras and yantras and tantras and yajnas to somehow or other counteract this sin and this problem and that problem and this black magic on me and this. I hear about it all the time in Bombay. But Sukadeva Maharaj Parikshit was not satisfied with that answer. He said, "If an elephant takes a nice, clean bath, the elephant will come out of that river and roll in the dirt and become dirty again. Unless the heart is clean, even if you atone for particular immoral activities, you will be forced by your uncontrolled mind to do it again and again and again." Arjuna asked this question to Krishna. Even people who want to do good, why is it that they are impelled to incriminate themselves again and again and again in immoral activities? Kama esha, krodha esha, rajo guna shamudbhava. Krishna told Arjuna that it is this kama, this passion to enjoy, which is transformed into wrath when it is unfulfilled, anger, that is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So Parikshit Maharaj says, I cannot accept this. What is the real solution to cure a person's heart of the disease to want to engage in these materialistic types of activities? Parikshit Maharaj was so compassionate. He was already a liberated soul. He was asking on behalf of you and me. You can understand a person's spiritual enlightenment by observing their quality of paradukaduki. Anyone can speak slokas. Anyone can propound high philosophical concepts if they have that academic capacity. And these things are good if they're used for the right purpose. The actual quality. But to go back a little, Ravana in Hiranyakashipu, they knew hundreds and thousands of slokas and philosophies. They were really learned scholars. But what is the quality of a person who's actually close to God? Paradukaduki. That other people's suffering becomes their own suffering. That they even become more concerned with the welfare of others than their own. When the Supreme Lord offered a benediction to Prahlad after he withstood so much remaining faithful to the Lord, Lord Narahari offered him anything within the 14 worlds. He offered him the mystic cities to perform miracles. He offered him liberation. He offered him elevation to the spiritual world eternally. But Prahlad said, how could I go back to the spiritual world when so many fools in this world who are my brothers and sisters are suffering? Let me remain with them to help them. That is paradukaduki. In a very developed state. Vasudev Dat, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the avatar of this age of Kali, that my dear Lord, I have one desire, only one desire that's burning in my heart. Please fulfill it. When I see people suffering due to forgetfulness of their relationship with you, my Lord, my heart breaks. It is intolerable. Please grant me this benediction. Let me take the karma and the sins of every living entity in the universe on my head and suffer perpetual hellish conditions and give them all liberation. And he meant it. The Supreme Lord, Chaitanya, upon hearing his words, was weeping tears. To make God cry, you have to really be serious. He was weeping tears. His limbs were trembling. His voice was faltering. And he said, Vasudev Dat, it is no surprise. It is not astonishing that you are asking for a benediction like this, because you are none different than Prahlad Maharaj. That is the nature of a pure heart. It is not just an artificial imposition. So this is actually a real quality of a saintly person, that they feel great compassion for those who are suffering. Parikshit had that compassion, not just for the body and the mind, but he wanted a real solution for this eternal soul. It was then that Shukadeva Goswami narrated the story of Ajamil. I believe you all know this story. Ajamil was brought up in a very, very good family. He was taught all virtues, morals, spirituality, and he worshipped the Lord. He was a very good Brahmin, and he had a very chaste and faithful wife. But somehow or other, this Maya Sukaya, this desire to enjoy the illusory energy, was still in his heart. And due to materialistic association, he became bewildered. It could happen to almost anyone, unless they're very, very careful. He just happened to see a prostitute with a very sinful man enjoying together. And this awakened in his heart this deep desire to enjoy. And how the mind and senses, yatato hyapikonte ya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prashamam mana. Krishna tells in Gita that the senses are so strong and impetuous that they can forcibly carry away the mind and intelligence even of a man of discrimination. But then he gives the solution in the next verse. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi asyandriyani tasya prakya pratishtita. That one must restrain the mind and senses and simultaneously fix the consciousness on me, Krishna says. The idle mind is devil's workshop. Only for so long can we just keep saying no to the mind and senses' immoral, materialistic, selfish demands. Vishayavani vartante niraharasya dehina rasya varudram rasopyasya param drisvani vartate. One can actually forever conquer over the mind and senses only if we experience a higher taste. By engaging the same mind and the same senses in positive spiritual activities, the mind and senses are busy and in the meanwhile purifying the heart. Our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada explains that the soul is originally pure. It is eternally pure. Just like when a drop of water falls from a cloud, it's pure. It's crystal clear. But when it comes in contact with the ground, it acquires dirt, mud, and other such pollutants. And therefore, it's transparency is lost. In fact, with mortal eyes, it's very difficult to see something transparent. But when something's polluted, you can see it very grossly. So that is the condition of our consciousness. When it comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, Rajaguna, Sattvaguna, Tamaguna, when it comes in contact with this material energy, so many egoistic conceptions awaken. We forget our eternal nature. I am this body, and then we start thinking, I am of this caste, I am this sex, I am of this social status, I am of this age. And whatever is close to this body is mine to enjoy. And then when we try to enjoy in that spirit, we become incriminated in so many karmic situations, and we become more and more and more polluted. And in this age of Kali Yuga, it is so unfortunate. It's very rampant in the West, and it's unbelievably invading India, especially Mumbai. This conception that the enjoyment in life is to accumulate more and more filth, dirt, pollution in our hearts. That is happiness. That is being cool and prestigious. Yes? How much we can drink, how many sexual affairs we could have, how much we can cheat people, how much we could gamble, how much we can watch all kinds of immoral scenes in the cinemas. When I was a small boy, I remember gangsters were idolized. They were like heroes. Yes? I don't know if you know American history, but John Dillinger, he was a murderer and a bank robber. But he was a legend and a hero in America. And when the police shot him dead, people were mourning. The government didn't put their flags on half-mast, but people were mourning. They were condemning the police. This is considered exciting. Yes, we see in the hoardings of Bombay, people with knives and people with blood all over them. And yes, women dressed in various provocative ways. People are thinking, oh, this is what I want to be. These things are considered great. Being very proud, egoistic, very attractive. Smoking cigarettes. Our Guru Maharaj, there was a cigarette sign saying, smoke, be. Find refreshing coolness by smoking cool cigarettes. That was the name, cool. And Prabhupada said, this is Maya. They're putting fire in their mouth. They're putting burning fire in their lungs, and they're told that it's cool, and they believe it. So this is a very unfortunate situation. Actual civilization is where people are respected or honored when they're genuinely striving and making sacrifices for purity, morality, and realization of God. Today, even in colleges and universities, you're considered very unfashionable and unpopular if you talk about God and morality and ethics and purifying your heart. Let us enjoy. But people don't know what real enjoyment is. Spiritual life is supremely most enjoyable. So compassion to the body, mind, and especially to the soul. I heard a story, it's a true story, that in the south part of India, a man was holding his daughter and a wave came. And when the wave left, all that was left in his arms was her clothes. The girl was dragged away. It's very sad. But there is a lesson. This body is a temporary set of clothes for the soul. We should do everything we can to help the body. But real love is to help the soul. Simply to make your dress nice, but neglect the person, the conscious force, is incomplete. It is not true compassion. Parikshit Maharaj had compassion for the souls of all living beings. So poor Ajamiyo, he became distracted. And in that distracted condition, due to unfavorable association, there's a famous saying, show me who you associate with and I will tell you who you are. We become our association. If you put an iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. If you put an iron rod in ice, it becomes cold as ice. We take on the qualities of who we associate with. That is why this wonderful satsang program tonight is so important. To associate with like-minded people who are striving to hear about high enlightening topics is all important. It will determine the state of our consciousness. Nasta praesya badreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtake. Therefore, real human civilization is to seek regular association with saintly persons. Mahatsevam dwaram ahuravam uktes tamodwaram yoshita sangvi sangam. The Bhagavad Puran describes how by associating with great personalities and serving them, by hearing from them, the doors to the perfection of liberation are opened in our lives. But by associating with materialistic people who are squandering their lives due to being impelled by the false ego, we're opening the doors to the darkest regions. Association is all important. Ajamil, in the association of his mother and father and his wonderful wife, was a very pious and good man. But because he chose to associate with the wrong company, he became completely degraded. He broke the heart of his family. He rejected his mother, father, rejected his wife. And living with a very sinful person, he became so sinful. He became a hardened criminal. So selfish, so egoistic. He did not care for anyone except himself and his own family. If he had to cause pain, if he had to lie, if he had to cheat, if he had to call physical harm and violence to others, he didn't care. Because after all, life is about serving number one, me. Even some great psychiatrists and psychologists in the West, they say that today's civilization is the me civilization. Everyone is so thinking about me. So he was dying in old age. But do you know, because he performed some nice activities in his childhood, the grace of God was still with him. Krishna tells in Gita, Neha vikramanasosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobhaya. That whatever we do in the service of the Lord, it is never lost. It is eternal. sarvasya cha ham hriti sannivishtamata matir jnanam abohanam cha. Krishna is seated in everyone's heart. Krishna is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And the living entity that is Jiva Shakti. Jiva Shakti means Mamayvam so Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanata. The spirit soul by constitutional nature is part and parcel of Krishna. We are simultaneously God and not God. Like a sun ray is the sun, but it is only an infinitesimal part of the sun. It is not the sun, but it is a part of the sun. In the same way, we are part and parcel of the Lord. We are Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovadadati kama. There is one supreme eternal who is the absolute truth, Bhagavan. And there are unlimited, infinitesimal, eternal beings who are always subordinate to the one supreme. And we have free will. And according to the decisions and choices we make in our free will, the Lord within our heart will facilitate that. If we want to forget God so that we can do anything we want, we can make our own laws, we can make our own principles of morality, or we can break them, the Lord will facilitate. He's the source of forgetfulness. You want to forget? He'll create such an incredible network of forgetfulness. Whole scientific, technological, philosophical, psychological evidence that there is no God. So much logic and common sense we'll have that after this body dies, everything's finished. So it doesn't matter what I do as long as I enjoy. Such deep avidya or ignorance, how can it come about? It's the Lord simply facilitating our desires. But if we want to remember, if we want real knowledge, the Lord from within our heart will facilitate that. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami that the spirit soul is wandering through endless species of life. There are 8,400,000 species according to Padma Purana. Wandering through various universes, trying to enjoy and simultaneously suffering. But when one finally comes to the position of being very fortunate, the Lord within the heart, when He sees there's some faith, there's some desire to know Him and come closer to Him, the Lord will give all directions, will orchestrate the creation to meet the spiritual masters and the holy people to actually give us the enlightened knowledge we require. Hajamil named his youngest son Narayan. Why? Because the Lord knew that Narayan was going to be at his bedside at the time of death. The Lord inspired him to give his son that name because although he did heaps and heaps and heaps of criminal activities, he did some good, and the Lord never forgot that. He performed bhakti, devotional service, which is never lost. So at the time of death, he saw the Yamadutas
the messengers of hell to drag his soul and his subtle body to very cruel punishments. And he cried for his son, Narayan. And the servants of the Lord sent the Yamadutas away. And he became purified. And then he realized, what have I done in my life? He was utterly repentant for all the bad things that he did, all the pain he caused to others. And he went to Haridwar, and there he spent the rest of his life fixed in meditation on the mercy of the Lord, and he spent the rest of his life purifying his heart by chanting the holy names. So this is the solution. According to Shukadeva Goswami, according to Krishna, Manmanabhavamagbhaktoidmachyajimnamnamaskuru. Always remember me, Krishna says. When that drop of water becomes polluted by all sorts of mud, when the spirit soul, which is originally pure, becomes covered with so many egoistic, selfish, passionate desires, we must filter that water to bring it back to its natural original state. And what is the way of filtering our consciousness? Not creating an artificial imposition on the mind, but actually bringing our consciousness back to its original, natural, pristine state. Nitya siddha krishna prema sajya kabunoai sravanadi suti cheti kodige mudoai. That in the pure state, we not only realize our own eternal identity, but we realize our relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is Bhaktivatsal, who is always so dear, the object of the love of his devotee. What is love? Love in its original state is the soul's deep, eternal affection toward the all-attractive, all-merciful, all-opulent Lord. That is love. When we forget our love for God, we try to find some replacement. But we're never satisfied because God's love for us is unlimited and our love for God is incessant. And it's perfect. And what is it that actually attracts us in anything in this world? It's the presence of God. Why do we love our mother, our father, our children, our wife, our husband? Sometimes that happens. Why do we love these people? Why we don't love their body when they're dead? We love them because there's a tiny little infinitesimal part of God within their hearts. That's what we love. Because we love God. It's our nature. Krishna is all attractive. He is Bhagavan. He is all strength, all knowledge, all fame, all power, all renunciation, and especially all beauty. So when we simply repose our affection, our natural inclination to love in God, we achieve ultimate happiness. And that happiness is universal. Because when you love God, then you naturally, spontaneously love every living entity. because you see everyone as the children of God. How does that love awaken? In this age of Kali, there is a special medicine that goes right to the core of the problem and makes permanent solution. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Most powerful, most effective energy or medicine in this age of Kali. The chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. Why? Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. The name of God is non-different than God. Therefore, it is like touchstone. It can fulfill all of our innermost desires. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nita Sarva Shaktis. All the powers, opulences of the Supreme Lord are within the name, can be accessed through the chanting of the holy names. Ajamil attained the ultimate perfection of life simply by chanting God's names. And that same opportunity is available for all of us. By associating with saintly persons, by living in harmony with God's laws of proper morality, by hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the names of the Lord, it is certain that we will realize and experience the unlimited wealth, the treasure of happiness within ourselves. And like Prahlad, in that state, we just want to share it with everyone. Like that simple housewife, Kunti Devi, even in a most difficult situation on her deathbed, she was experiencing love of God. And she felt so wealthy and so happy and so fortunate, she just wanted to share it with everyone. In all situations. That is real success. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. Human life is so rare. And every moment in life is so precious. Because time passes inconceivably. Seconds are passing. Minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, life after life after life. Imperceptibly, time is stealing our life away. What are we going to do with our time? Ayur harati vai pungshan. The Bhagavatam declares, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death. Except for those who are hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, who are immersed in service to the Lord. For such personalities, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to realizing our own eternal existence. Closer to the eternal lila of the Lord. Therefore, Krishna tells, Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajim nam namaskuru. Always remember me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. In this way, you will come to me without fail. It is certain. To have faith in this principle is the most glorious wealth that we can possibly achieve. It is not blind faith. Faith that I'll be happy through acquiring money. Faith that I'll be happy by developing a handsome or beautiful or strong body. Faith that I'll be happy by getting promotions and having more prestige. That is blind faith.
because how long will it last? And even people who have it all, they're taking sleeping pills just to go to sleep. They're in so much anxiety. That is blind faith. Or as the Bengali saying says, Goda Dimba. It's having faith that I will be happy by obtaining the egg of a horse. Huh? The world is striving to gain the happiness of possessing a horse's egg or a flower growing in the sky. But the fact is, horses do not lay eggs. It's not real. It's an illusion. So all of our material attempts for happiness, for security, for stability, are illusory. Therefore, the greatest of all wealth is to have faith in the truth. It is not blind faith. It is faith that has been established by God's incarnations all over the world. Whether one is a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian or a Zoroastrian, whatever religion, the principle is universally the same, that we must have faith. That if we surrender to the Lord, we will find the ultimate perfection of life. The greatest, most compassionate, learned saints throughout history, throughout the world, have been not only educating us in this way, but they've been pleading for us to understand, sometimes even willing to sacrifice their lives to help enlighten us with this faith. Are such great personalities willing to live and die to give us this? Are they wrong? Are they an illusion? Compare the saints of the world, the real saints, the character and quality of their lives to the people who are promoting atheism and materialism. Who do we want to have faith in? That is our choice. When we associate with saintly people and hear from them, our faith grows. Our faith is nourished. It's already within our heart. It is nourished like watering a seed. Ado shadha tata sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha nourishes the seed of faith that is within our heart. Faith that if I live in harmony with the will of God, if I live as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Trinada Pisuniche Nataror Ibasi Hishmina Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahadi. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. If we can just try to live by this principle, we could chant the names of the Lord constantly. Cheto dharapanamarajanam bhava mahadudav dabhagmi nirvampanam. The chanting of the holy names cleans the heart, filters all the unwanted egoistic selfishness, the lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, anger, and illusion, filters it all away and brings the pristine, pure, transcendental nature of the soul back to its original state. And in that state, ecstatic, unlimited love, prema, for the Lord Krishna and for every living being. If you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. This is real solution. And if people think that it is impractical,
That is impractical.
Because nothing else will work. Everything else is superficial.
In this world, we do have a responsibility to perform superficial symptomatic remedies to the problems of the world. We have to do it. It's our duty. But we should never neglect the real problem, purifying our own heart and being instruments of God's love in our life by chanting His holy names.
Kevala Ananda Kanda, and it's so easy and it's so joyful. It's just designed for the age of Kali.
How many can go to Himalayas and sit in meditation in complete concentration and celibacy their whole lives? But according to the scriptures, you can get all that result and more, even living at home. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, they were grihasthas. They were not sannyasis like me. They had wives, they had children, they had immense responsibilities. They were kings. But they performed all their duties, never neglecting to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and doing the will of the Lord. That is the beauty of real life. Thank you very much.
It was this wonderful benediction that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada shared with the whole world.
The incredible depth and wealth of the Vedic scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads.
He traveled around the world 14 times. He started from Bombay also. This is where he collected his ticket for a cargo ship, the MV Jaladuta. He took that cargo ship across the Arabian Sea. He went through Africa and Europe, crossed the Atlantic Ocean, arrived in New York City. He had 40 rupees and didn't know anyone. But he had a box of Srimad Bhagavatams. He had faith. Faith in the mercy of his Guru and the Lord, and total faith in the power of the holy names. And he transformed tens and thousands of people's lives. And it is by his sacrifice of love that we are all here together tonight. At this time we will have Sankirtan. But before, I'd like to announce something. On February 12th through February 20th, there is a wonderful celebration to honor Srila Prabhupada's 108th anniversary of his appearance in this world at Cross Maidan. And it is very special to me because that is where I first met him. I traveled from America over the Atlantic and hitchhiked. Hitchhike means overland, just asking people for trucks, buses, whatever way I can get. From London, I came to India. It took 6 months. I was searching for spiritual life, searching for spiritual teachers. I lived in Himalayas and other holy places, going to ashrams, meeting yogis, lamas, gurus. Now, Bombay is not the place you go if you're searching for God. At least, that wasn't my idea.
I was in Bodh Gaya and Varanasi and Sarnath and all different places in the Himalayas, Badrinath. I came to Bombay to get a renewal of visa. And I was taking some meditation course here also. I was walking down the road and I saw a big, big sign, Hare Krishna. I didn't know what Hare Krishna was. But I realized it has something to do with God, and I was interested in God. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to understand. And it said, Hare Krishna Festival at Cross Maidan. So I went to Cross Maidan, and there was a crowd of about 20,000 people. And that's where I first met Srila Prabhupada. And I attended his lectures morning and evening for about 2 weeks. And it had a very profound effect in my heart. I didn't become a devotee then. I continued and went back to Himalayas. And ultimately, almost a year later, a half year later, Krishna sent me to Vrindavan without my knowing. I was in Vrindavan, and there I met Prabhupada again and offered him my heart and my life. So it was in March of 1971 that Srila Prabhupada had his first major public program in Cross Maidan, Bombay. And 20,000 people were coming every night. And it was the first place that both Lokanath Swami and myself met Srila Prabhupada. And the organizer of that program was a very, very illustrious, glorious disciple of Prabhupada named Shyam Sundar Prabhu. And two other great souls were working together with him, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. The three of them organized this whole event. Glorious event. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu has returned to Bombay, and this is his inspiration. He's organizing it again 34 years later. It's going to be glorious. There's going to be full temple within the pandal. There'll be worship of the deities, Mangal Arti, at I think 6 o'clock in the morning. And there'll be classes and seminars throughout the day, wonderful seminars, very lively seminars, scientific seminars. And there'll be wonderful, wonderful spiritual entertainment and festivities. And every evening there'll be Mahasatsang. So it will be a wonderful event, we hope. And we very sincerely and humbly invite all of you, please, whenever you possibly can, come to the festival at Cross Maidan. Shyam Sundar Prabhu called me just before leaving and told me to make sure I invite everyone to come. From my heart, you are all invited. And at this time, we would like to invite you to join us in Nam Sankirtan. As I'm chanting, please fold your hands and welcome the holy name into your heart. And as you are chanting, please raise your arms very high. Please, everyone. Like Draupadi, when she was in a helpless condition, she threw up her arms in a mood of submissive surrender and cried out Krishna's names. And please chant very sincerely from your hearts, very loudly, to fill the world with the ambrosial nectar of Hari Nam. Mm-hmm.